Voice memo, Priya Burman, March 6th, 2026.
I'm recording this 1 month before the launch of the Austintopia beta test. There's a ghost in the machine. I don't know how else to describe it. It's as though the AI game controller in charge of the Pride and Prejudice world is confused, altering elements of the game beyond the scope of its directives. Elements that should be static, unchangeable. Characters, setting, story, it's all being modified and revised. It doesn't make any sense. I hesitate to use the G word, but it really does seem as though the AI is glitching. Yes, all alpha test simulations featuring an entirely NPC cast have concluded without issue and with expected results. However, as we all know, these alpha tests are not always accurate predictors of how the game will react to and interact with live human subjects during the beta testing phase. Players are unpredictable, and they breed chaos. I do not feel as though the current rendition of this game controller will react well to player chaos. For that reason, I'm going to recommend to the board that we postpone the beta test for all worlds within the Austintopia universe of games until my team can go through the Pride and Prejudice game controller's code and directives with a fine-toothed comb. All we need is a few more months to rebuild the game controller and to ensure the safety of all who enter the game. I just hope the board will listen.
Chapter 1. I sat on the porch swing at my parents' house. My house again, now that I had joined the growing ranks of adult children moving home, nursing a beer as I lazily pushed myself back and forth with one bare foot. If you had asked me 10 years ago where I thought I would be on my 30th birthday, I wouldn't have said laid off. I wouldn't have said evicted. And I definitely wouldn't have said moving back into my parents' house. But here I was all the same. At the screech of the screen door opening, I looked to my right. My tall, lanky brother, Charlie, stepped onto the porch, a wine glass filled with a generous portion of red wine in one hand, a brown beer bottle in the other.
Want some company?
Charlie asked, pausing beside the porch swing to hold out the wine glass for me to take.
I come bearing gifts.
I flashed him a weak smile and leaned forward, setting my nearly empty bottle of beer on the floor before reaching for the wine glass. I wasn't sure why I'd gone for the beer anyway. Wine was more my style. Charlie gave me a gentle noogie.
Happy birthday, Squirt.
I swatted his hand away from my head and snorted derisively, leaning back on the porch swing once more. Thanks, Chuckles. Wincing, Charlie sat down beside me.
Always with the chuckles.
I laughed softly, grinning at him. I could switch to Chucky, like Grandma. Would you prefer that? Charlie groaned, letting his blonde head fall back.
Oh, dear God. No.
I laughed again. Charlie was doing his big brother duty and lifting me up when I was down. He was, quite possibly, my favorite human being in the whole world. He'd always been there to help me up when I stumbled and fell, even if he'd been the one to push me down in the first place. Nobody picks on my kid sister but me. That was his motto, all day, every day. As my spark of good humor faded, I took a sip of wine. Charlie lifted his head and raised his beer to his lips, tilting the bottle back for a long swig. He lowered the bottle, and I could sense his gaze on the side of my face.
You know, Olive, when I moved back here, I felt like the punchline of a joke. A 31-year-old gamer moving into his parents' basement?
I glanced at Charlie sidelong, my heart sinking. Looked like fun time was over and a serious heart-to-heart was coming. If this is your attempt at making me feel better, it seriously sucks. I said, just FYI. Charlie chuckled. He took another swig of beer, then raised his hand to forestall any further commentary from me.
Just hear me out,
he said.
I have a point, I promise.
I sent a pointed look his way, then shrugged.